Psalm 121. When I'm done preaching in just a little while here, I'm going to ask a good brother, Brother Sam Elsie here, to give a testimony of the truth of what I'm going to share. And I'll introduce him in just a moment. And we have a special musical number as well. But Psalm 121, what a tremendous verse. I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your feet be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Lord, make this real to our hearts. May we take something home from this. Lord, scratch us where we itch, right there, Lord. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for this thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is known as the Traveler's Psalm. The Traveler's Psalm. It describes a liturgy that took place when pilgrims would depart from their villages and their farms and their faraway cities, and they would have to travel up to Jerusalem for the annual feast of Passover, of Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Those were not optional. That's what every Jew who honored the Lord would make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and thus the reason for this psalm, because it's the departure ritual. There's a ritual that was involved, and I'll talk about more about this as I unfold the thought here. We all have departure rituals. The one that I'm most familiar with is that if someone we know well and they're moving away, especially they're not just going on a trip, but they're moving away. And inevitably, if it was here at the church, if they stopped in to say goodbye, or if they stopped in at our house, either place, it would just be like this. I know how it would be. Somebody would say, if I didn't say it, somebody would say, why don't we just have a word of prayer here? And instantly, without anybody doing anything, we'd all link up. Next thing, we're holding hands. We're holding hands, and we'll say, why don't a couple of people just, let's pray blessings. And we would pray over this departure ritual and the richness of it, and we're wiping our tears and we're hugging each other, and they begin on their journey. And that journey, it's a farewell, again, a sort of departure ritual. Down through the years, I've seen that in our own lives. I can remember when we left Regina 26 years ago, that we stood outside or sat outside our house. It had been sold, and we had given our notice. And we were beginning a journey that we weren't sure much about it. But we knew we were coming to the West Coast. That's all we knew. And I remember us, we were crying. There were just two of us. We were crying. Why were we crying? Well, I don't know why we were crying for sure either, because nobody had a gun to our head. We were crying because we knew we would never be back here in that setting ever again. We knew that life would be different, things would be different, and God had us on a journey that we were a part of. I can remember, on a more practical level, I can remember we decided, when we were living in Regina, we decided, why don't we drive to New York City? So we did, with my nephew. He sat in the back, he said about three words the whole trip. Because he was even out of school for that. We took him out. He was in grade 10. And there was we still joke about it as being a wonderful time. Going through South Dakota and going through Pennsylvania and going to the Amish country and hearing the clip-clop, clip-clop, and there's horses and buggies and everything. And ending up in New York City and walking down Fifth Avenue, 80 blocks down Fifth Avenue, and going to Cape Cod and diving into the surf and having so much. We just really loved Cape Cod. That was a great time. And then I saw a lobster trap. Well, I had never seen a lobster trap in my whole life. I mean, real one. I mean, I see pictures of it. And it's, wow, a lobster trap. Let's take it. So I went to the shop and they're just there. So we put $2 or whatever. It was nothing, almost next to nothing, because there's lots of lobster traps. So we took it. Now, this was a little Tercel. My nephew was in the back seat with the luggage. So we strapped it to the roof. And the rest of that journey, we drove with that lobster trap on the roof of the Saskatchewan plates on the. And nobody said anything until we got to about maybe Nebraska or something. And we're getting into the prairies, and people said, "What the blank is that? Is that a bird cage?" They didn't even know what it was, because they'd never seen one in Saskatchewan. They never saw it. I think it's still around, isn't it, Lillian? It's still over at their place. So I lie not. I tell you the truth. But that was a journey. That was a wonderful journey. So life's kind of made up of those type of things. And by the way, when we have that kind of a ritual, that departure ritual, we pray for things. We pray for God's protection. And we pray for God's help, asking for his help and for his favor on our journey. On our journey, we're asking for his help. We pray for our health. We pray, and this, just think about the trips you've ever made. We pray for uneventful travel. How was your flight? Thankfully, uneventful. How was the bus ride? Thankfully, uneventful. Right, we're just so glad that nothing happened on our trip that would alarm us or worry us or upset us in any way. So we pray for our health, for traveling mercies. If they're Christian workers, we would pray for their effectiveness in their ministries and for their plans for the gospel. We'd pray blessings on the work that they represent. And so we've all had moments of departure, and really these are bittersweet moments. There's a mixture of feelings to it. There's happy moments, you know, when you're going somewhere and we say, well, we're all packed, we're heading out. And it's so exciting to do that. It's just so very, very exciting. And there's other times that aren't so happy, and they're not quite the same as when you send your kids off to college. And you know in your heart that it's not ever going to be the same. We know about those type of departures, right? They just say we're happy for them. But it brings a sadness as well. Somebody moves away. Somebody gets married. Somebody starts a new career somewhere else. And we worry and we wonder about how that's going to be. And we always promise, well, we'll write, but they don't. Right? We don't, because we get busy. We know that. And that's the bittersweet feeling about it. But this is also why we meet together. You know, when we do get together, we go through these rituals because they're important. And even when we have the benediction, now may the Lord bless you, keep you, watch over you. Why? Because we know that you're going on a journey, and it's important to you, and it's important to the Lord. Some trips that we make are brief and inconsequential. Others represent major changes of direction that lead us down a long and winding road of discovery, of opportunity, and of difficulty. Sometimes trips, you're going to do up the affairs because Grandpa died. You're going to stop in to see those people that you have been in the hospital, and you're going to make a trip just to go and visit them. That's part of these journeys that we take. But this psalm, 121, called the Traveler's Psalm, it teaches us that at the beginning of every new journey, that we have this opportunity, this chance to remind ourselves of the one who watches over us and on every road that we travel on in this life. You see, I'm betting on something in my own heart, that the Lord will guide the trails and the journey that I'm on, that he will watch over. And so when do you have the Psalm 121, and especially verse 1 and 2, it's the introduction. It's the beginning of that journey. And there are some things that we are aware of when we begin the journey. So we all know that the road can be a challenging place. You're taking a road trip, and it's a challenging moment. You say, how so? Well, there are dangers when you're on the road. There are. There are obstacles along the road, and sometimes hindrances. You may face unforeseen delays. you may get diverted and have to take a detour. Isn't that disturbing? You know, you're going all of a sudden, oh, there's a detour. That's not even on the map. The directions may not be clear, and you might get lost. We get lost going to Savon. Not quite, but just about. I can't tell how many times we've been lost. Hundreds of times. Well, guess who was driving? I was driving. Get turned around. And he said, we went too far. You're supposed to have turned back there. So you turn around, trying to find a place to turn around. Oh, good, we're back in the right direction again. But you can get lonely at points along the journey. And then on the other hand, not only you may get lonely, but you may meet some people on that last and that next trip that you take that you were surprised that they have. It has long-term implications. You didn't think it would, you know, because you felt even lonely on the trip, but then you meet somebody and says, and that person turns out to be a good friend, perhaps. So you may come to a bend in the road, and you may see sights that you've never seen before that just took you somewhere. I think Yogi Berra says that, what do you do when you come to a curve? He says, take it. Or just follow it through. See where it'll take you. You never know. You might come over a hill, and suddenly you have to swerve to avoid an accident. Or your vehicle may break down. I think I told you this story at the time. I think it was my birthday a couple of years ago, and Val had everything packed up, and when as soon as I turned the ignition on the car, the tape thing, the music thing came on there. What's it called? I can't remember what it's called. And it was singing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday. We get in the car. This is right across into the parking lot there. We get going. We're just heading toward the U.S. border. We've crossed the border and just gone through Bellingham, and all of a sudden, or just coming to Bellingham, and all of a sudden, boom, flat tire. I haven't had a flat tire in 25 years. So I was so surprised that I had a flat tire, because I never had a flat tire for a year, maybe 30 years, maybe longer. I don't remember having a flat tire. So this was a tire, I mean, it scared us. Is it flop, 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 flop? We get out and we fit. Of course, I forgot to check the spare. Well, it's not really a spare, it's a little thing. It looks like a piece of rubber. Yeah, it's kind of firm. But you put air in it, and I didn't check it because I never had it. He needed it for 25 or 30 years. So I said, we haven't got a spare. Oh, we got a little, and we're like, well, you know, there's a little bit of air left in that tire. Just off the rim. Just a little off the rim. So we said, well, if we drive slow, we'll be able to drive to Bellingham. So we're just going to pull off the exit onto Bellingham. And said, bang! Somebody runs into the back of us. Now, what was really weird, it was they took off. And we stopped the car. Now we're freaked out, right? And Val's crying, and we don't know what she said. What's happening? What's happening? I said, I don't know what's happening. And he said, anyway, we pulled off. He said, well, there was no, doesn't seem to be any damage to the car, but enough to bang our heads. So we said, where are we going to find a place? Where are we going to find it to get this? And Val said, well, there'll be a place. I know there won't be any place. It's Sunday. It's Sunday afternoon. But you know there was. Walmart was open. Hey, bless Walmart, eh? Yeah, you have a friend in need. There you are. So they changed. Anyway, so they were just closing the automotive part of it. And I said, would you help a Canadian? I said, we got to be in Seattle by now. Anyway, that graciously for about, I think the whole tire repair was $10. There's a price difference. $10. So we get back. Anyway, to make a long story short, we make it to our destination in Seattle. You know, the journey was as exciting as the destination. I mean, it's where we were finally going. What stays out in my mind, I can kind of remember Seattle, but I remember the journey. And that's how trips are in our lives. So you can get a flat tire. You can run out of gas. You can need a fan belt. You might end up staying in a motel for a night. But that's why at the beginning of every journey, that's why we pray. That's why we acknowledge the Lord. Because we know there'll be lots of things that we can't control. And we know that there is someone who guides our way. Someone who is there for us. Someone who cares for us. Someone who protects us and provides for us. See, Psalm 121 is a song for travelers. And it does just that. It protects, just as it says it will. So Psalm 121 is a part of a group of psalms known as the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T, Psalms of Ascent. And they are from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. 15 short, simple songs. And if you read Deuteronomy 16:16, you will know that I'm speaking the truth when I say that all of the males in Israel were to bring a sacrifice to Jerusalem. And they would have long distances to go, unless you lived in Jerusalem, of course. But they could be living in another part of Israel altogether, and they're making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And at these three times a year, at Passover, at Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So they would bring offerings along. They might even bring a goat along, or a lamb along for the sacrifice, or grain or something, but they're going to make a sacrifice, and it's going to be an important part of their lives. And they sing songs. They sing songs along the journey. Songs like what? Songs like Psalm 121. That's a song that they would sing. And so the writer, in this case, we don't know for sure the name, except that my help comes from the Lord, and it's a song of ascent. But look at the hills. This is what he's saying. Look at the hills. That's where I'm going. But I'm going to Mount Zion. I'm going to Jerusalem. And the question is, will the so-called gods of the nations, will the gods of the nations help me? No, they will not. They will not help me. That's why some New Age people have said he was looking to the hills as if there was some kind of energy flow from the hills. No, he's saying, I lift up my eyes to the hills, to the one who made the hills, the one who made the mountains. That's who he's going, whose his eyes are on. It comes from the one who made all of the mountains and the hills together. So I'm trusting in the true and living God, and he's declaring it. He's declaring it to his relatives and to his friends as he begins the journey of ascent. And now that's verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills, whence comes my help. My help, now notice it's my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Now his friends speak, because they're part of the journey. You know, they perhaps haven't even left home yet. And verse 2 to verse 8, they're exhorting him. It's no longer my, it's the Lord will be your keeper. See, that's the point of some of these things. When we have these departure circles, there may be somebody who prays, but there may be other people who will say, the Lord will be your keeper, and the Lord will take care of you. God will keep you, is what he's saying. The Lord will keep you from stumbling. God will keep you through the dangers of the day and of the night. From the time you depart, from the time you arrive. That's the Lord will keep you and watch over you and care for you. And so you commit yourself into God's care and God's protection. And you know, I was thinking, not just a physical journey, but in our lives, there's new journeys all the time, and it calls me to focus on the Lord and the good news of his love. I think of the journey I'm on right presently, not just being a pastor here in the church, but my life. And I thought, you know, this journey that I'm on, I want to maximize the journey. I want to live it to the full extent that God would have me to honor him and serve him. I don't know all that will mean, but all I know is that I need to be intentional, because we're all on journeys, and you're at a particular spot that you will need to focus on the Lord and the good news of his love. And so every day of our lives, we begin a new pilgrimage. Do we not? When you got up this morning, there was a new pilgrimage. You say, well, I'm awake. I'm up. I'm alive. Where's the coffee? Right? Just to make sure we're alive. And so we begin every day a pilgrimage, a new pilgrimage. And so we say, let Psalm 121:1 be one of the first words in your mouth and in your mind when you wake up. And you know that the way is challenging and we need help. That's why I marvel when people never pray. They get in the car, they never pray. Do you know so much about the road that you don't need to pray? Because I've driven with some of you, and I've prayed quite a bit. But I digress. Psalm 21 has that encouragement to it that there's only one who can help us. There's only one that can watch over us. There's only one that can keep us safe. There is only one that is able to say, may the Lord bless you and keep you in your going out and your coming in. Blessed either way. The hand of the Lord. But it wasn't something, it wasn't just say, well, oh, I mean, it was intentional. We wanted God's blessing from the beginning of the journey. We wanted it in the beginning, in the middle of the journey, and we wanted the end of the journey. That the hand of God would be upon us. And so these valuable psalms like this really encourage us. He's the only one who can help me, and he's the one that made the hills and the mountains. So it's also why we meet together on Sundays, by the way. We're journeying together to help and to inspire one another. I want to be a blessing to you. I know you want to be a blessing to me. That we encourage, say, and we often say, how's it going? What's it? Right? Well, really, is the journey. If I say to Barb, how's it going? You know, what do you mean, how's it going? What is going? Your life, your journey. How's the journey? And so we speak to one another. We had hymns together, songs together. What were they about? About God watching over us and blessing us and keeping us, and we marvel at it. But that first part of the journey is very, very important as the first part of a day, and we meet on the first day of the week. There's something that's first. We're not sure about this week, so we decided that we would meet on the Lord's Day to encourage one another. We don't know what this week will bring forth, but we're on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage. And later, we'll come back next week, and we'll tell about how the journey went. Say, how'd that go? Oh, it was really wonderful. Or how'd that surgery go? Or how did that court case go? Right? Oh, there's always something that we can surround somebody with and say, tell us your story, what's been happening. So, the beginning of the journey, we surrender our hearts to the Lord and proclaim that he's the one that watches over us. But we also face the journey of life best when we're in a community of faith. A community of faith that encourages us by reminding us of the Lord's great love. By the way, one of the reasons why we have small groups, life groups, growth groups, is because we feel that people need a place to tell their story. They need a place to say, I ran out of gas in my life, right? I'm pulled over by the side of the road. I feel like I'm not going anywhere. And we meet together. Now, can it be done in a bigger setting? Yeah, it can be, but it's not as intimate. It's not as much sharing takes place. So one of the reasons why we want you to be and why I want to be part of a group is because there's something healthy about that journeying together. It reminds us of the Lord's great love. I'm not journeying by myself. I draw from the support and blessing of encouragement of my faith community. So we say, how's your small group? Oh, I really like those people in my group. It's a really encouragement to be there with them. So your small group will point you to the Lord. That's the reason. You'll come, you say, you know, I didn't even feel like going. I just wanted to put my feet up and just, you know, do nothing. But I came, and I'm really glad I came. Really glad that I ventured out from my home to go to this small group meeting and to be part of my faith community. Because it points us back to the Lord. In Psalm 121, from verse 3 to verse 8, is the other pilgrims bring the encouragement. They give us the gospel. They remind us of by their prayers that God is with us. That's why we say, why don't we just have a few minutes of prayer and we bow our hearts. And it's like a departure circle a little bit, isn't it? We all join hands often and we begin to pray. And we know that so-and-so is discouraged. So we said, Lord, we just pray for that individual. And we say, Lord, please encourage them. May they keep their eyes on you. And Lord, I pray that your presence just now, say, come Holy Spirit, just come and encourage them and bless them. And they go home saying, feeling important and feeling that their lives mattered because the others in the group. So we submit ourselves to the journey, then we are aware that there's other people that care about us and we need to be a part of that. We don't want to be alone in life on this journey. You want to have friends. And one of my great concerns, of course, as a pastor, is that you will be here and not have any friends. You say, well, it's friendly. Oh, listen, churches are a dime a dozen. We're all friendly. There's no unfriendly churches. There's just, but that's not your need. Your need is not friendliness. You can go to Walmart for that. That's another thing you can get there. They're friendly. But what you need is friends. And thus the small group does that. The growth groups do that. We grow. It gives us a focus where we can grow. So value your community of faith. It's a very, very wonderful and good thing. Especially for somebody new coming in, it's absolutely invaluable. You can hardly even to measure it. So thirdly and lastly, that the Psalm of 121 reflects the beginning of the journey, but it doesn't tell the whole story. You see, our journey is often complex, isn't it? And mysterious. There are lots of laments, just so many. And we pray and sing our laments. When life isn't going the way that we thought it would, the court case didn't work out as well, the sale of the house didn't go through, that illness looks like there's going to be surgery. And all of a sudden, see, we didn't know about that at the beginning. Now we realize that there's something that we need to really be concerned about. And so we sing these laments. And just for example, turn me just over a page or two to Psalm 130. Here is one of them. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, and so that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope, my soul waits for the Lord. There's part of the journey that was a bit sad. It caused discouragement. It was, and he's only a few feet down the road. He's only a few miles down the road, and already there's a lament. Already there's a cry, oh, Lord, where are you, Lord? Thank you that you are a God who doesn't hold us. You forgive sin. And, Lord, I wait on you. I wait for you. You barely got in the car. You barely got going. That's right. You don't know where along the journey these things are going to come upon you. But the entire Christian life is a pilgrimage. And we have stories to tell about that pilgrimage from our wandering years in the world till the day we come into a saving relationship with Jesus. And we discover that God is here for us every step of the way. I'm betting my life on it. I believe that God is watching over me. The path needs to be clear. Often we get lost. Oftentimes we trip and we stumble. And many times we need supernatural intervention. And so we take up our cross and we follow him as we journey upon the way of salvation, calling people to join us, actually, as we walk along the way. But we're on this journey that Psalm 121. Let me just, I'll just break in here. Verse 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. Verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Do you believe that? The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming out. 6 times in 8 verses, he said, the Lord is your keeper. Who will keep me? Who will keep me safe? Who will keep me encouraged? Who will watch over me? He said, I'll go back to verse 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. My keeper. And we can have confidence that whatever journey, if you're actually taking a physical journey to commit your way to the Lord, but if it's a spiritual journey that we're all on, that we're called to every Monday morning, so we're called to it again tomorrow morning, knowing that we will meet with our fellow travelers at our cell group, our small group, our growth group, we'll meet with them for encouragement along the way, but what we need most of all is the Lord close by. the Lord with his hand upon us, the one who says, I'm guiding you, and I will show you my provision along the way. Well, some months ago, quite a few months ago, I was talking to Simon and Yuki, and Simon said to me, have you ever heard Sam Elsie's story of his care, by the care of by the Lord, and his story he tells? And I said, no. So he said, well, so he gave me the headline. And I said, do you think that he would ever share it with us, that story? And then I was preparing for Psalm 121. And Sam, I thought, I know where to have this share this. I know exactly where. This is the morning. Well, let me get a microphone. Which one? Right here. Come on up, Sam. This is Sam. If you haven't met Sam, you know, three Sundays ago, we had communion, and I heard his voice rise above where he said, we got a valet here to carry you, to help you up here. Well, yeah, you prefer a stool? Do you prefer a stool to perch on?
No.
All right, bless you. This is a good brother, and I value your fellowship, and he has often prophesied. You, a few weeks ago, you proclaimed it. There is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, and my heart leapt because I felt you were speaking God's truth to us. So tell us about that fateful night and God's provision.
God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit you. God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit you. I've gone away from church so many times with those words ringing in my ears. It wasn't until the Second World War came along that the penny dropped and I realized what it meant. I've got this. Did you hear that? Well, ever after, it has meant something, as the pastor just said. Any trip that I made, I committed to the Lord. And I survived. And I got to be quite used to this. And I found myself in 1962 living in Winnipeg. In fact, I was stuck in Winnipeg because I always wanted to come to Vancouver, never could get a job. Architects were as scarce as hen's teeth. And finally, right out of the blue, I got a job. And I had to pack up and leave rather hurriedly. And it was at a time when my wife had arranged to get back to Sweden to her family for a trip. So I packed her off, and then I packed all my furniture off, and I packed my car full of my books and small things in boxes, all level with the seat back, and I just had room to sit in it and drive it. And I left on the 8th of May, on a day when the snow had gone and all the detritus of winter was blowing around in dust whirls and it was gray and miserable. And off I went, west. And I committed the journey to the gracious protection of my Lord. And fine, I'd been to the CAA and I'd got a triptych and I'd planned to go south rather than through the Rogers Pass. So when I got to Lake Louise, I dived off down to Radium Hot Springs, Cranbrook, Creston, Nelson, Castlegar. And at this time, up to this time, you reached a point where you had to go down into the States and come back up to Grand Forks. tracks because there was no proper road over the mountains. And they told me at this time that was all fixed. Now there's a new road, brand new, except that just at the east end there was a detour. Look out for it. Well, I hit the spot where I was looking for this road, and it was pitch black. It was about midnight. I didn't know how in the world I was going to find it. How do I get onto this road in the first place? And there was I saw the light along the road, and it was coming from the office of a motel. And I dropped in, and there were some chaps sitting around a table playing cards, and I asked them where this... Oh, they said, half a mile, less than that, just some distance down the road. You can't miss it. There's a sign there, turn right. I said, thank you very much. And just as I had my hand on the doorknob, one of the chaps said, by the way, there's a detour just a little along the road. Look out for it. And I said, yes, thank you. I'll do that. And off I went. And sure enough, there it was. And I drove off to the right, and I kept going very slowly, looking for this detour. And after a few miles, there it was. So I was off the road to the left, down through the woods for several miles on a very bumpy, rough road. And then I came back up onto the highway. Wonderful. Now, this was called, in those days, some of you may know this, it was called the Paulson Blueberry Cutoff. And off I went, all by myself. I had the road to myself over the mountain. I thought, here we come, Grand Forks, and I'll creep into my sleeping bag, and tomorrow, Vancouver. Well, I'd gone for quite some time when suddenly I saw a chap coming towards me. And I thought, well, a poor chap, he's going east. He should be going west like I am, you see. Maybe he's going back to Winnipeg. Poor fellow. But the trouble was that these headlights in front never seemed to get any closer. They got brighter, but they didn't get any closer. Then I got spooked. I thought, goodness, surely the RCMP haven't got a roadblock out. They wouldn't know I was coming. And I slowed down. I slowed down to a stop. And I got out of my car, and there were these two headlights. And I walked forward towards them. And then I saw. Sitting side by side on the road, exactly the same distance apart as my two headlights, were two jackrabbits with their ears stuck up in the air, and they were sitting up on the haunches, absolutely transfixed by my lights. And what I'd been looking at was the reflection of my lights in their eyes. And I walked right up to them, and they didn't move, just like little models sitting there on the road. And I said, go on, scat, shoot. And finally, they came to and scampered off into the woods. And I started to look around. And there, behind where they'd been sitting, the highway ended. There was a clean cut-off of the concrete with its wooden formwork and so forth. And beyond that, there was a drop of about a foot and a half. Two frozen, muddy ruts that went off into space, into the darkness of the forest. And but for those rabbits, I'd have taken off into the treetops like a fighter jet leaving a carrier. I got down on my knees with my elbows on my front bumper. And I cried. And I laughed. And I held my arms up and I said, "Thank you, Father, for your gracious mercy and protection." I got back into the car. I drove back a little while, and there, sure enough, was the detour, the second one I hadn't been looking for, nobody told me about. And that was it. Here I am. You know, they said, "What sort of a man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And I could add to that, even the little animals in the forest obey him. It's the only part of creation, I think, that doesn't obey him of the human race. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Pastor.
Beautiful sound. Thank you. I think next time I'm gonna loose you to preach. He does preach, by the way, and he has a Bible class too in his home. Thank you. You know, you say, well, matter of fact, he told me that he's met people who said, "Oh, you're the rabbit man." How many believe that God can do that kind of stuff because he's God? Yes, amen. So good. Thank you. Thank you. Just as we close our service, we have a special to go out on. It's a duet. I believe it's a duet. So why don't you folks come? And this is from Psalm 121. Get that on. Thanks. I'm going to get you to give a benediction over us. Let's stand together. The Lord is your helper. He will see you through. The Lord is the one. Don't put your trust in the wrong thing. So easy to do. You'll never get the road right. You'll never figure out the detours if you're not close to him. I left a building the other day, and this individual just said to me, they said, "Go safely. Go safely." A good word, except that he should add, "In the name of the Lord." It's not just a matter of going safely. It's that there's someone who's guiding and directing. Amen. Brother Sam, lead us in prayer. Oh, we have a word here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, thank you. We were just saying, we didn't thank the Lord for little Ethan, who we prayed for his safety. Sam, I'll pray just for this, then we'll get you to say a benediction. Lord, we thank you that we prayed for that little boy. We joined our voices with millions, perhaps, of other people who were so deeply touched by that. We thank you, he had a birthday and he's celebrating and he's alive. We thank you, God, that little fella, we thank you for sparing him. And we pray for his purpose, your purposes for his life. Lord, there must be something you're going to do in and through him. You spared him. You delivered him from all evil. And we thank you. We come back to give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name. Brother Sam, please.
As Aaron said to the children of Israel, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace."
Yes.
Now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks for coming this morning. If you have a Connect card, you're new here today, just go to the back table. We have a special gift for you. And if you're here, need some coffee, come to the patio. It's ready to go, and we're trying out a new blend. So we welcome you to come. Thanks for coming this morning. God bless you.